Announcement tonight, we have streets. Yeah. Amen. Street teams. Amen. Google Brother Joe. Amen. And Brother Mike. Amen. They're going to be heading out a street team tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Did y'all stay home tonight or what? Let me just give you a little pep talk. All right. I'm going to give you a little pep talk. I don't like a quiet church. Yeah. And you don't like a quiet church. So you got to learn to say amen.
Amen.
You gotta learn to say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You gotta learn to say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
When you're not told. When you're not told. Come on, somebody. Amen. Say amen. All the announcements. Amen. Don't let the preacher get behind here. Amen it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. And say thank you. Amen. We are Victory's preachers. We like for you to talk to us. Come on, somebody. Amen. Now, don't talk back to us. Come on, somebody. Just talk to us. Amen. Because it just helps us know that you're awake. Because we know some of you got some skills. Amen. You fall asleep with your eyes open. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. So, amen. Talk to me tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. And let's not be a quiet congregation. That's like the First Baptist or something. Amen. You know, that's like the Church of the Chosen Frozen. Not here, amen. Come on, somebody, amen. And so just a little pep talk, amen. Praise the Lord. And also, I wanted to give a few commercials. Well, just a few props and thanks, amen. Just wanted to take this time and thank the church, amen. Thank a few people, amen. I had a great birthday, amen. Had a great birthday. Pastor's appreciation. We had a great. You guys made it special, amen. And I just want to thank you guys, amen. I want to thank Maria and Joe for my new Bible.
Amen.
Thank you guys. I'm using it. Amen. Got it right here. Amen. That's Angel. Thank you for my new shoes. Amen. I usually don't wear tennis shoes. Amen. Up here. Amen. But I was here at the church, and so I wear tennis shoes. And bless, they're nice. Amen. Bling bling it. Amen. Tight whites. Amen. Thank you, Angel, and for the new shoes. Amen. Reeboks. And thank you, Gracie, for my new shirt. Estoy extrañando. Okay, you don't know what that means. Amen. Got me a new watch. Amen. Fossil. Amen. With my birthday money y'all gave me. Hello, somebody. Amen. Got a new thank you, Abby and Nick, for my new bag. They were looking at me. They were looking at me with my blue bag coming in the church, and they felt sorry for me. So they bought me a new black guest bag. Come on, somebody. Amen. And, you know, and then somebody gave me a money clip. Jessica. Amen. But I got rid of it because I ran out of money. I just gave it to my bag. Amen. Ain't no money in it, so I gave him a money clip. Amen. Praise the Lord. And just many, many gifts. Amen. That just wanted to thank the church. Amen. If I forget you, don't feel bad. Amen. I didn't forget you. Amen. Thank you guys for the love. Amen. The appreciation, the cards, and all the happy birthdays. Amen. And my family, my wife, My daughters, amen. They gave me a new iPhone. Hallelujah. Amen. New phone. Amen. Trying to learn how to use it. Amen. But just thank the church. Amen. And, you know, it's good to be in church on a Friday night. Amen. No other place to be but in God's house. Amen. In the place, in the house of God. Amen. Being with the people of God. Amen. And so I want to do what I do best, what I love to do, and that's share God's word with you.
Amen.
Amen. Share God's word with you. Amen. And today we had a few people are out. Amen. Taking care of stuff. Amen. And so, amen. Some of the leaders are doing stuff. Amen. But we just, we're here. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus is here.
Amen.
Holy Spirit's here.
Amen.
Father's here. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we're ready to hear from God. Are you ready to hear from God?
Amen.
Amen. You ready to hear from God? Amen. I'm ready to just be God's mouthpiece here tonight. I want to share. I got my notes, but I also want to share from my heart. Amen. That the Lord has put something on my heart for the church. Amen. This has been on my heart really heavy for quite a while now. Quite a while. You know, for a few months, the Lord has really been putting this topic on my heart about the church. About the church. Amen. And I know that God is building us. I know God is building us solid. Amen. I know a lot of times we may not see all of the numbers, but, you know, there's really something taking place. You know, God is really building leaders. Amen. He's really building leaders in our church. And he's positioning us. He's getting us ready for what he has for us. And so I want to share with you, amen, this message, amen. And I hope that you're blessed, amen. Matthew chapter 28, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Thank you, worship team. Amen. And I love it. I love it. You know, sometimes I got to say, man, the leaders need to kind of not be here more often. Amen. Because, no, they need to be here. But we have new faces doing stuff. We have a new drummer over there. God is leading worship, worship leader, amen. The guy's doing pulpit work, amen. That's I love to see that, amen. I love to see that, amen, because I see new faces, amen. God is raising up, amen, to answer the call, amen, to answer the call, amen. Praise the Lord. And it always shows that, you know, God always has a ram in the thicket, amen. God always has a ram in the thicket, meaning that he, you know, God always has somebody else ready to step up. Amen. Ready to step up. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it's a beautiful thing to see. Amen. And also we see growth. Amen. We see development. We see, you know, that we're able to serve the Lord and do what God has called us to do. Amen. Matthew 28, very famous, familiar scripture. We share it all the time. Amen. Verses 18 through 20, the Great Commission. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Bless the reading of your word. God, I pray that you would anoint me here tonight, God. God, I pray that you would help me to articulate, deliver your message. God, help me to be your messenger, your funnel that you could flow through. And God, I pray that you would help me deliver instructions to the body of Christ. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. We all say
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you tonight about being producers. Being producers. To being producers. You know, when I got saved and gave my life to the Lord, you know, my life was messed up, kind of like all of ours. Most of ours, you know.
Right.
I know some of you beg to differ. Well, my life wasn't that messed up, Pastor. Let you tell it. Amen. Come on, talk to me now.
Yeah.
Let you tell it. Amen. But, you know, before I came to Christ, my life was messed up. Amen. I was a person that lived on, you know, I lived on the edge. I liked the excitement. I liked the rush. You know, that's why I did drugs. You know, that's why I did drugs. That's why I was involved in crime and criminal activity, breaking into houses, breaking into cars, pistol whipping people and, you know, robbing at gunpoint, you know. Those things I was involved in, you know. We're going to have to erase that on the YouTube, amen. But I already did my time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, my point is I used to love to live on the cutting edge.
Yep, all right.
You know, I love living on the cutting edge.
Yeah.
And many of us were the same way. We love to live on the cutting edge. This is why you were always getting in fights. You know, you always getting bar fights. All these things. You know, so when I gave my life to Christ, you know, I was tired of that life. I got tired of that lifestyle. Did anybody get tired of that lifestyle?
Amen.
Amen. We got tired of that lifestyle. Got tired and became, you know, I realized that, man, if I kept on, then, you know, my daughters weren't going to have a dad. They weren't going to have a dad to grow up with. I realized that if I didn't change, you know, I was going to end up dead at a very early age. It's going to break mom's heart, break dad's heart, break my loved one's heart, you know. And so, you know, I wanted to change. I wanted something different. You know, and so what I'm saying is that Christianity is not just about getting saved. You know, so many people treat Christianity as just, well, I'm saved. I'm saved from hell. I'm going on my way to heaven, and that's it. Listen, it's not just about that. I don't understand that type of Christianity. My whole life of being saved, I was telling my wife, you know, next year, I'll be saved. I'll be saved 20 years. In March 4th, it's going to be 19 years that I've been saved.
Amen.
March 4th. Yeah. You know, March 4th. So the next year, March 4th, it's going to be 20 years. And then next year I turn 40, you know, so I would have been saved already half not saved and half saved. Of my life. 20 years saved, 20 years not saved. These whole years that I've been saved, this 19 years going on, 20 years that I've been saved, listen, it's been exciting. It's been the most exciting time of my life. And I knew excitement because I got in a lot of police chases, car chases, you know, not a lot, but a few. Amen. I ran from the cops a lot. That was exciting. You know, it's exciting, except for when you got caught. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Then you were in a cell. That wasn't exciting. That was boring. You know? And you know, so when I got saved, you know, I remember when I wasn't saved, I used to say, to serve God is so boring, I used to think. I used to think to go to church is so boring. Especially me serving, especially my mentality, because my mentality of serving God was the Catholic way of serving God. Because I grew up going to Catholic church.
Okay.
So I would go on Sunday morning to Mass, and I would see the priest walk in with his big hat, white robe, his, you know, the cross, and the guys next to him, like, I don't know, like his armor bearers or whatever, you know. And they would walk in. I don't know what they're saying, but, you know, it sounded like that. And I said, and then they would go up there and do their ritual, and I said, that looks just boring. It's putting me to sleep. So I used to think that was serving God. Serving God is just about being in the cathedral and the Catholic church and, you know, and that's it. And that was my mentality about serving God. So no wonder I was like, I ain't going to serve God. I'm not going to, what do you mean give my life to God? It was boring to me. It was foreign to me. You know, but when I started to realize that serving God is not just about me being saved and going to heaven. But I start to realize when I got saved that serving God is about, that's it, serving God.
Yeah.
Serving God.
Yeah.
Serving God. So how do you serve God? What does it mean to serve God? Well, it doesn't mean just to sit in the church warming up a chair.
Yep.
It doesn't mean just, you just come and you're just an audience. Church wasn't like this in the early church. It really wasn't like in the book of Acts chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. The church was there, and you see the church in Acts chapter in the book of Acts. But guess what? Church wasn't like this.
Right.
Yeah.
This wasn't church. Mm. This type of church, you know what you call it? An audience church.
Mm.
This type of church didn't formulate to the third century.
Yeah.
To the year of Constantine. If you don't know who Constantine was, he was a powerful emperor who got saved. And he's the one who stopped all the persecution of the Christians. And so what happened is that he made Christianity, you know, the political religion or the world religion. So now Christianity was looked with favor It used to didn't be like that. They were killing the Christians. The government was killing the Christians. But when Constantine got saved, he said, you know what? I'm a Christian now, and you ain't going to mess with the Christians. So therefore, he started legalizing Christianity. He made Christianity the religion of the world, or the religion of the empire. And then all of a sudden, he started to build cathedrals for the Christians. And it was a good thing. It was a great thing. Don't get me wrong. It was great. It's still great. But that's where we get church like this, where we have an audience. This is like, you know, you have chairs, you have a stage, and you have an audience. But it wasn't like that in the book of Acts. When you read it, it wasn't like that. How was it? You got to look for yourself. When we begin to study, we begin to see that the book of Acts church was exactly that. It's right there in front of our face. What does Acts mean? Amen. What does Acts mean?
Action. Doing things.
Action. Action Jackson. How many remember that movie?
Yeah.
Right? Action Jackson. Huh? The book, the church in the early century was about doing something. Was about acts. Was about works. Was about putting their hands to the plow. Was about miracles, signs, and wonders. Was about spreading the gospel. Was about loving people, the lame walking, the blind seeing, the unconverted getting converted, missions and church launching and leadership being raised up. That's what we see in the book of Acts. And they didn't really have, the Christians didn't have a lot of money, so they didn't have big cathedrals or big buildings, but they had their houses. And they would meet in their houses. Day to day, they would meet in their houses. Every day, even though they may not have had a big building they can gather in, every day they met. Oh, listen, that's how I long to have a church that every day we meet. You don't have to meet here, but if you're meeting in your house, if you're meeting for a prayer meeting, you're meeting for an evangelism training, you're meeting for a street rally, you're meeting to go visit the people in the hospital, you're meeting to go visit the people in the prison, you're meeting to have Bible study. That's the type of church that the book of Acts church was.
Amen.
And because of that, they produced.
Yes.
They were producers. That's what I want to talk to you about tonight. This verse in Matthew 28 is a verse about producing disciples. But today, instead of producing, we are consuming.
Wow.
Christians, for the most part, are not producers, but consumers.
Wow.
We have adapted to the consumer culture of America, of the world. All the world looks at America. All the world looks at America. And you know what a type of culture is there's in America? It's called a consumer culture. Why do you think we have we have places like Super Centers, Super Walmarts.
Right.
You know, we have super malls. You know, we have all these things. We have these big places. And what do we do? What do? When we go to these places? We go to buy. We go want to go shopping at Walmart. The one-stop shop. Come on, somebody. Huh? They even got one for the gas station now called Bucky's.
Oh.
One-stop shop. Why do you think they do that? Because they're catering to our consumerism.
Come on.
Amen.
And it's even happened in the church.
Come on.
That's why we have these big churches and we have this and that. And it's great, my friend. But listen, we got to remember that, listen, God did not intend the church to be just consumer Christians,
yes,
but producer Christians.
That's right.
Today, Christians want to go to a church that offers them everything. Good worship, good child care, or good children's ministry, a good education department, a daycare for their kids, a great experience in worship, and on the list can go. If the church doesn't have all this or meets their needs, then they leave in search for the church that does. Why? Because it's a consumer culture. Well, if this church doesn't meet my needs, if this church doesn't have what I need, what my kids need, what I need, then I'll just go to another church. Huh? What are they doing? These are consumer Christians.
Huh? What did Jesus say? He didn't say. He said the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve.
That's right. Amen.
Huh? The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. In other words, he said, I'm here not to consume.
All right.
I'm not here to consume, but I'm here to produce.
Amen.
I'm here to serve. Amen. That's the type of church God longs for. See, the consumer church is not the church Jesus wants us to be. This is not the people God desires us to be. He wants us to be disciples that produce. That we come, yes, to worship and yes, to learn, but also we come to serve and produce other disciples. See, the sad part in many churches is that you have 20% of the people doing 80% of the work. While that 80%, the 80%, they just consume. They just consume and they give a little change in the offering. Listen, Victory Outreach Grand Prairie, we want to be a church that is the opposite. We want 80% to put their hands to the plow. Somebody say amen. And the 20% can consume. And that 20% are those that are getting saved. Are those that are babies in Christ.
Yes.
But the rest of us, the 80%, we need to put our hands to the plow.
Yes.
Huh? That's the type of church we want to be. We don't want to be that church that is 20% doing all the work.
Yeah.
And the other 80%, they just come to consume. And I know I'm preaching this to the wrong crowd. Come on, somebody. I probably should be preaching this on Sunday morning. Come on now. Sunday morning, the brick crowd comes.
Yeah.
Huh? Come on now. Friday night, you're the radical crowd.
Yes.
You're the crowd that puts your hand to the plow.
Yes.
You're here to serve.
Yes. Yes.
Come on, somebody.
Yes.
Huh? Right? We can't just warm a chair. We got to say, are we plugged in? Are we serving? What are we doing? What are we bringing to the table? How are we serving Jesus? How are we serving the church? How are we serving the body of Christ?
Yes. Yes.
I didn't come just so that you can give me. My name is Jimmy.
Come on.
Sorry, Jimmy. He's not like that. Amen. But I'm come here to serve. See, 80% of the people have to give 100%.
Yes.
Wow.
80% of the people have to give 100%. Yes. That's the type of church we want to be. That 80% of us give 100% of us.
Yes.
80% has to give 100% every day.
Yes.
Every play.
Come on.
I love my boys' football team. They have a chant they do. 100% every day. 100% every play. I won't quit on myself. I won't quit on my team. They say that all the time during their practice, before their games. Their coaches, that's their motto. They get together and they say 100% every day. 100% every play. I won't quit on my team. I won't quit on myself. That's the type of church we need to be. 100% every day.
Yeah.
Not just on Sunday.
Yeah.
Not just on Friday night.
Yeah.
But 100% every day that we give to the body of Christ. Yeah. That we give to Jesus. 100% every day. 100% every service. 100% every time we give. Every time we serve. Every time we preach. Every time we put these hands to the plow. We got to give 100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or do we just want to consume? Has to be 100%.
Yeah.
Listen, imagine the impact that we can make. Imagine the impact that the church can make if all of a sudden the tables are turned and a revival hits and all of a sudden the church of Jesus Christ, all of a sudden it's just not 20% involved, but it's 80%, my friend, that all of us put our hand to the plow. All of us grab the vision. All of us go all in. Why me and Sylvia pastors? Because we went all in. That's why I'm standing before you, because I went all in 19 years ago. I went all in, my friend. I didn't half-step with God. I didn't say, God, I'm just going to give you a portion of my life, or 30% of my life, or 50% of my life. But I said, God, I give you all of me, God. I give you all of me, God. 100%. And just not today, but for the coming days, God, I'm going to give you everything. I am giving God everything. Don't tell me it don't work. Don't tell me that I can. You can't survive. I'm surviving. My wife is surviving. And we've given everything to God. God hasn't let us down. Pastor Sonny and Sister Judy gave it all. Pastor Red and Sister Mitzi gave it all. Oh, our elders have given it all. Our pastors, they've given it all. We're still here. We're moving the vision forward. We're moving the kingdom forward.
Yes.
That's what it's going to take.
Yep.
This is why you can't complain.
Right.
Men in the home, women in the home, give it 100%.
Right.
And don't look at me like that, because I was in the home.
Yeah.
I gave it 100%. Second phase, give it 100%.
Yes.
You work hard. You pay your tithes. You give your offerings. You give to United We Can. And you're a building fund plan. And you come and serve in ministry. And you're growing in the word. And you're fasting and praying. And you're growing in your leadership. And God is raising you up. Give it all you got. We've gotten here because we gave it all we got. We've given it all we got. We didn't have none of this. It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. It was all a dream. This was just a dream. I was telling my wife this. You know, she says, how does it feel to be 39? I said, you know, I said, I've been praying. And the way it feels, I said, the way it feels, it says, God has given me new hope. He said, how does it feel to be 39? I said, you know what God is doing to me right now? What God is doing to me is he's giving me new promises.
Yeah. Yeah.
At 39, God has given me new promises. The future, because let me tell you something. When I was 19, 20, getting saved, 20 years old, all I wanted from God was for him to change me. When I got saved at 20 years old, going on 21 years old, all I wanted God was to change this thing right here.
Amen.
This thing was messed up.
Yeah.
Jacked up.
Come on.
Huh?
Amen.
This thing right here, my mind was playing tricks on me.
Yeah, that's right.
This thing was messed up right here, man. Huh? I just wanted God to change this when I first got saved. I said, God, man, if you just change me, I'll serve you. And then you know what? He started to change that. And then I said, God, man, okay, thank God that you're working on my mind, but my kids are scattered, man. I'm brokenhearted. You know, my family's been ripped away from me. All these things. And I said, now, God, I need you to fix this. I need you to fix my children. I need you to bring my family back into my life. I have faced all kinds of legal things on the run. I said, God, I need you to fix me. And he says, I promise, if you just serve me, I'll fix it. I had to get a promise from God. And then God started to do that in my life. And then as I was serving God, I said, God, I just need a promise that you got something for me. And God promised me and said, I'm going to use you, son. I'm going to use you to preach the gospel. I'm going to use you to reach the homies. I'm going to use you to reach the drug addict and the gang member. I'm going to use you to one day have a recovery home, to build, to be a pastor one day. And I was just 20 years old, 21 years old. Oh, but God gave me a promise.
Yeah.
He gave me a promise. And it's then that I learned that serving God was just not about being saved.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. That's right.
But about serving the Lord.
Yes.
About having a hope and a future. About having a hope and a future. But today, all that's been fulfilled. All that's been fulfilled. I got a beautiful wife. I got great children. I got a ministry. I'm preaching the gospel. It's all been fulfilled.
Yeah.
That promise is because he's faithful to his promises.
Yeah.
Amen. So I say, God, give me new promises.
Come on.
That's good, Pastor.
Give me some new promises.
It's good. It's good. It's good.
God is giving me new promises.
Yeah. Come on.
We're going to launch out churches.
Yeah.
We're going to build a base. We're going to grow a church. We're going to grow a large base church here in Victory Outreach, Grand Prairie.
Come on.
Huh? We're going to raise up leaders and pastors.
Yes.
We're going to send out churches. We're going to send out missionaries. We're going to feed the vision. We're going to travel the world and win souls in South America and in Africa and Europe and Russia and Asia and any continent that dares to get in our way. Victory Outreach Grand Prairie. We're going to be a part. We're not just sitting on the sideline. We're not just a church that sits on the sideline, my friend. We get in the game. We get in the action. You're going to travel the world. We're going to accomplish great things for God.
Amen.
God's giving me promise.
Right.
He's giving me a promise. Huh? It's not just about sitting back. Huh? It's about serving the Lord. It's about serving God. God wants us to be disciples that produce. That we produce. That we come here not just to worship and learn, but also to serve and produce other disciples.
Right.
We want to be all in when serving God. Yes. You know, the problem with church services like this is that only a limited amount of people can serve in them. And listen, I'm saying all this, but we still have church services. Because there's a dynamic here.
Right.
God does something here.
Right.
But what I'm telling you, it's not just about church services.
Yeah.
We can have all the services we want. But it's just not about what we do here. It's about what we do outside of here. It's about what we're going to do after here, after we dismiss and say amen, and we go to the streets. That's where it becomes about.
Right, right, right.
But how many are going? Is it just two people?
Ooh.
Where is the church of action?
Amen.
Or did we just come to consume?
Wow.
Come on, somebody.
Come on.
Huh?
Speak it.
It's not just about what's done here. See, the problem with church services is that only a limited amount of people can serve in them. But in small cell groups, many people can serve in them. If not all can serve in them. In a small group. I want to talk about a small group. What do I mean? A life group, a ministry, a street team. That's a small group.
Right.
It's a small group because you're there, and maybe, you know, a few of you may be a big team, maybe be a small team, but yet you're there sharing the gospel. You're being the church.
Right.
And you're ministering to one another, and you're watching God use one another.
Yeah.
It's a small group. See, small groups like life groups allow common church people to serve one another, to pray for one another, to share with one another. And doing so, they edify the body of Christ.
Yep, come on.
It's in a life group. It's in a small group. It's in a small group where some of you get the opportunity to open up service.
Right.
To give a 5 minutes of fire. You may not be ready for the big pulpit. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
The big desk, God's holy desk, huh? But you're ready for the little mini one at your life group.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on, somebody. Every life group leader should get it like a mini pulpit. Hello. Start them off there. You don't get the big pulpit. You get the mini pulpit. Come on now. Uh-huh. And you might not be able to open up here, but you can open up in your life group. You might not be able to lead in prayer here at the church service, but you can lead in prayer at your life group.
Yeah.
You might not be able to lead in prayer here at the church, but you can lead in prayer on the streets in the prayer circle. You can lead somebody to the Lord. You may not be able to say the sinner's prayer right here as an evangelist that comes and leads people to the Lord on a Friday night or Sunday morning, but you can do better on the street corner and lead a soul to Christ right there at the QT or right there at the Walmart or at the standing ring or at the movie theater. Listen, God is no respecter of persons or places. He'll save them on the street corner and He'll save them at the altar. It don't matter to God as long as they're getting saved. But we need to be a church that's unleashed. We need to be a church that gets out the four walls of the church building and we begin to function outside the walls.
Amen.
We don't want to be a consuming church, but a producing church.
Yes.
A consuming church is big, but fat and unhealthy.
Wow.
There's a lot of consuming churches that are mega.
Come on.
They're big, but like what Brother Joe said earlier, they're just spiritually fat. They can be a church of 3,000, 5,000, 10,000 people. But how many of those people are actually serving? I don't want a church of 10,000 people, but yet only 20% are serving. Yeah. If we have a church of 10,000, you better believe 8,000 better be serving.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, let me tell you, we will never get there here in Victory Arch Grand Prairie. You know why? Because I'll send you all out. Yeah. I'd rather have 8,000 churches than 8,000 people in my church.
Yeah. Yeah. You ain't hearing me.
I'd rather launch out and plant 8,000 churches and have 8,000 people in the church. Why? Because I know you, each one of you, are going to reach 100, 200, 300. That's multiplication, church. That's what Jesus said. Jesus, when you hear him, he says, go and make disciples of all nations. Huh? Multiplication that takes place. We don't. A consuming church is big, but fat and unhealthy. A producing church may be thin, but healthy.
Right.
It's like my pastor's church. They have a church of 200, 300 people. Between 200 and 300 people. It's not a very large church. It's bigger than ours. But look at the churches they have launched out.
Right.
Our church, Fort Worth, North Dallas. Wow. Getting ready to launch out more churches.
Yep.
Huh? They may not be big, but they're healthy. They're reproducing.
Yeah, that's right.
Reproducing. Yeah. Huh? Amen. And we may be a little thin, but we want to be healthy. A producing church may be thin, but it's healthy.
Yes.
Right. I said the church, not the pastor.
Come on.
I'm a little thick. That's how my wife likes me. She told me. Thick and thin. I was thin and now I'm thick. I'm faithful to her vows. We want to be a producing church. What makes a producing church? Five things. One, disciples that are passionate about prayer.
Ooh, come on.
What makes a producing church? We want to be a producing church. What makes a producing church? Disciples that are passionate about prayer.
That's right.
Everything starts in prayer. Everything is birthed through prayer.
Amen.
This is why we pray a lot.
Right.
We pray at the beginning and we pray at the end.
Hallelujah.
You come in an hour for prayer. For those that come early for prayer, we're praying.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the altar call, what do you think that is? It's prayer.
Yeah.
More prayer. Everything begins and ends with prayer. See, that's how the early church was. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 14. I believe they have it for the screen. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. The early church. Here it is. They all joined together. Constantly. 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 In prayer. In prayer. Just the men? No. Along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. This was after Jesus was took into heaven already. He was hid by the clouds. The clouds are hiding Jesus right now. This is why in the book of Revelations it says that the sky is going to be ripped open. The sky is going to be rolled up. And you know when the sky is rolled up? You're going to see Jesus. Huh? After Jesus was taken up, in verse 14, it says, what did they do after? They all joined together. Who's it talking about? It's talking about the church.
Yeah.
This is why corporate prayer is vital.
Yes.
And essential. This is why even at your life group, sometimes you just got to have a prayer meeting.
Yeah.
Huh? Sometimes you just got to have a prayer meeting. Let's get together and just pray in the home. Isn't that what we do?
Amen.
We pray.
Amen.
You pray, you stay. You fast, you last.
Right. Right.
That's good,
a lot of guys leave. A lot of women leave the home. Huh? Because they're not praying.
Right.
Because they're not praying.
Right, 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 right.
They're not tapping in.
Right.
They're tapping out.
Ooh.
Huh? People leave the church because they're not tapping in, they're tapping out. Huh? We need to be a people of prayer. We need to be a people of prayer. Everything is birthed through prayer. Everything is birthed through prayer. This is what makes us a producing church, because when you pray, God shows you the need. When you pray, God shows you to meet the need. When you pray, God sensitizes your heart and He shows you what you need to do in prayer. When you're sensitive to God, God will show you that you need to step up your game, that you need to go to the streets, that you need to call so-and-so, that you need to go visit so-and-so, that you need to serve, that you need. It's in prayer where God begins to sensitize your heart. It's through prayer. It's when you pray for the church, when you pray for your pastors, when you pray for your brothers and sisters, when you pray for the other married couples, when you pray for the other singles, when you pray for the men in the home, when you pray for the women in the home, you know what God will do? God will begin to show you a plan on how to encourage that couple, on how to encourage the guys in the home, on how to encourage the girls in the home, on how to encourage the men in the second phase, on how to encourage your pastor, and all of a sudden, when God shows you, you step into action and you begin to do body ministry.
Yes.
And you strengthen the body.
Right.
But maybe we ain't praying for each other.
Come on.
Maybe we ain't praying for each other.
Whoa.
You know, sometimes I'll send you a text. Why? Because I've been praying for you.
Yep.
And a lot of times I'll get the response, man, Pastor, I didn't get that right on time.
Right.
Huh?
Amen.
Yep.
Why? Because of prayer.
That's right.
Right up.
Huh? Well, Pastor, you don't text me. I'm sorry. I'm not praying for you.
Be real.
I'm human, man. Come on now. I'm human. But don't get mad at me. Pray for me. Just make sure you're praying for people.
Right.
Remember, it's not about me being served, it's about consuming. Hey, Luisa.
Pray for me.
Okay, I'm back. I pray for you. See, you're here.
Inside you.
Prayer. We gotta pray for people. Oh, we got to pray for each other. Pray for me. Pray for you. Pray for each other. Pray for the church. Pray for us by name. You never know who's struggling. Got to pray. If you don't know their names, write their names down. Put them down. Put them down on your prayer list. Don't put them down by your words. Put them down on your prayer list. See, this is what makes a producing church, is when we have disciples that are passionate about prayer. This is why we had prayer last Friday nights. Because we're a ministry that's passionate about prayer.
Right.
We're going to have more prayer meetings. We're going to have more prayer watches. Because
yes.
We want to be a church that's passionate about prayer.
Yes.
And many stayed. It was beautiful to see many stayed. And we prayed for the different ministries. We prayed for our founders. We prayed for our elders.
Yes.
We prayed.
Yeah.
And it gives us a heart for our ministry. It gives us a heart to what God is doing.
Right.
See, prayer produces producing Christians.
Right.
We got to pray. If we want to be a producing church, we got to pray. Because listen, if we don't pray, you know what happens? We think that it was us. We think that it was our talents and our ability and our good behavior and our good looks and our good. And this is why doors are opening, because I made things happen. That's what happens when we don't pray. I work for this. What is the saying? When man works, man works. When man prays, God works.
That's right.
Heavy. When man prays, God works.
Wow.
When man works, man works.
Right.
You do the work of a man. But when man prays, God begins to work. That's when we begin to see results. When God begins to work, that's when you can see your family saved. That's when you see your cousin saved. That's when your drunk Theo gets saved.
Come on
somebody.
Right.
That's when, then, but it's not about just Theo and cousins. Sometimes we preach them out. Huh? They don't want, they shut us out now. They see us coming, they walk the other way.
Oh,
huh?
That's true.
So then you try another method. Let me go save somebody else's Theo. And maybe God will save my Theo.
Yes.
Yeah.
All
right.
Let me go. I reap what I sow. So if I go reach somebody else's brother, maybe God will use somebody to reach my brother.
Wow.
Yeah. Let me reap what I sow. If I go reach somebody else's teenager, maybe God will reach my teenager.
Yes.
Huh? But it's spurred through prayer.
Yeah.
Prayer. What makes a producing church is prayer. Secondly, what makes a producing church are disciples that wait for the promise. Disciples that wait for... Remember, we're talking about the early church. The early church was a producing church. And this is why we're in the book of Acts. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. It says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, Jesus was eating with the disciples.
Yeah.
That's why I like to eat with you guys. He gave them this command. And remember, he had already died and resurrected, but he's still eating.
Yeah.
You know, eating people are happy people. People that like good food, they're like happy people. That's not the Bible. That's just me. Okay, that's just me. Okay. Jesus loved to eat, so I love to eat.
Yeah.
On one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Don't listen. Some people are, we're so religious that we think that the command, the instruction, the word of the Lord only comes in the church service. Jesus gave a command over a taco. Okay, maybe not a taco. Huh? But a sandwich? Huh? He was chowing down. And then all of a sudden he got down. And by the way, hold up. Make sure, do not leave Jerusalem. Don't leave the hood. But wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
See, what makes a producing church are disciples that wait for the promise. I know some of you say, I haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I don't speak in tongues yet. Just keep on waiting.
That's right.
Just keep waiting. Don't grow weird. Just wait. Keep on making altar calls. See, when disciples that wait for the promise makes a producing church. You know why? Because there's so many disciples that don't wait. There's so many disciples that get impatient and they throw in the towel right before the promise. They were this close for the promise. They were this close. They were this close for God to bless them. They were this close to speaking in tongues. But they threw in the towel. They were this close to seeing their family get saved, but they stopped coming to church. They were this close to being raised up, but then they had a fit of anger. They were this close for God to bring them a rib, but they fell in fornication. Or whatever. Listen, what makes a producing church are disciples that wait for the promise. What promise? First of all, the promise of the Holy Spirit. God has promised the Holy Spirit for the disciples that wait upon him. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit, he's the comforter. The Holy Spirit, he's the helper. The Holy Spirit, he's your comforter. When you wait upon, if you're going through a hard time, just wait for the promise. Wait for the, God promises you that he's going to make a way. God promises you that he's going to get you out of that mess, out of that trouble you're going through. He says, listen, and if I don't bring you out, I'm going to comfort you while you're in it.
Amen.
Sometimes you're not going to get out. He's just going to comfort you while you're in it.
Amen.
It's like when somebody loses a loved one. How you get out of that? All God can do is just comfort you while you're mourning.
Right.
But he sees you through it. He promises the comforter. He promises the helper. The Holy Spirit is the helper. He's going to help you in your time of need. When you want to throw in the towel, he's going to help you. Just don't throw in the towel. He's your teacher. He's going to help you. If you don't understand something, if you don't understand, Paul said it. Even if you don't, some of you are not going to, Paul said, some of you don't understand. He says, I'm going to pray the Holy Spirit is going to teach you. It may not be right now. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of things I didn't understand, especially coming up as a disciple and as a Christian. But I remember just saying, I'm going to wait upon the Lord. And I know that eventually God is going to teach me and he's going to show me. And you know what? He always did. When I didn't understand something, I didn't understand it at the moment. But I'm glad I didn't give up. I'm glad that I didn't blow up. But I'm glad I just waited for the Holy Spirit to come and teach me. Then I realized, oh, the light came on. The Holy Spirit is the comforter, the helper, the teacher. Amen. The parakletos. He comes alongside, the Bible says. Parakletos is the Greek word. It means he comes alongside. You got to wait for the promise. See, because when we wait for the promise, we reproduce. When we wait for the promise, we see the promise fulfilled. When we wait for the promise, we see the promise fulfilled. Huh? It's like in investments. It's like investments. It's not easy for us to send students to the UTC. It's not easy. We sent Brian and Jose are over there. Brian, these guys, they helped a lot in the church, you know. Right. Sound guy, drummer, they servants. Amen. We feel it. Huh? We feel it. But God always raises up people.
That's right?
Right? Yep. I mean, look, now we got another drummer. We got more sound people. Huh? But at the beginning, you know, we're feeling it. Huh? But you know what? It's an investment.
That's right.
Brian's coming back in less than 4 weeks.
Right.
In less than 4 weeks, he's coming back. Huh? In 4 weeks. We have vision for that brother.
Hallelujah.
Huh? We have vision. We're going to put him in the gang.
Come on.
Put him in the gang. Move Irvin on.
Come on.
Now let the gang give you headaches. Come on, somebody. Huh? We have plans for him. We have plans for Jose when he comes back. We're going to eventually put him in the home.
Come on.
Attack! Slowly move Josh out.
Yeah.
Groom him for what God has next for him. Huh?
Right, man.
It's an investment.
That's right.
But you know what we're doing right now? We're waiting. And you know what's going to happen? You know what happens? Leadership grows.
Yes.
Our capacity grows.
Yes.
But we got to wait.
Come on.
We got to wait.
Right.
Huh? We got to wait. Guys, sometimes God guys come into the home. Women come into the home. They come into the home, you know, just like I went into the home. Sometimes they come in and they become, I look, I say, God has a plan. God has his hand upon that guy. God has his hands upon that girl. God has a hand. I see God working in their life. I see them broken at the altar. I see they love to serve. I see they love the word. And I see that. I peep game.
Right.
Huh? I see God had a plan for Joe's life. See, God had a plan for Irving's life. It would have been real easy to say, you know what? You done 6 months. You know, I'm going to bless you out. You know, come live with me or go to the second phase, you know. But then I would be being impatient.
Right.
You know what? You've done 6 months. You know what, man? Just get out of the home. You're good now and go get a job so you can start paying tithes and give your first fruits. Huh? We said, no. No. Sit your butt in the home and do a year. A whole year. 365 days. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Huh? And you wait, and I wait. And we all wait for the promise. We all wait for the promise. Listen, I don't want no uncooked promise. I don't want a promise that still has blood all in it. Come on, somebody. I want a well-done promise. I want a well-done promise. Because I want Jesus, when I stand before him on that last day, to say, well done, good and faithful servants.
Yes. Amen.
So many people, they pull out. Because they're not waiting on God. Listen, if we're going to be a producing people, a producing church, we need disciples that will wait for the promise. The promise of the Holy Spirit, their personal promise. You got to wait on your personal promise.
Right.
You know how long I waited for that woman? I mean, you know, my wife. I waited a long time. To me. Waited. And I waited. I waited. Patiently. Like that song that, what's his name sings? It's a, waiting on you.
Clint Brown.
I love that song. Waiting. We waited. And listen, when you wait, you wait, you got to wait in righteousness and in godliness. Don't wait his throwing a fit. God don't honor that. Some people wait and they're murmuring and complaining while they're waiting. God don't honor that. You got to wait patiently upon the Lord. Wait for your personal promise. You got to wait for your personal promise that God has given you. Don't throw in the towel. Wait on your... What is the personal promise that God has given to you? Wait for it. We need disciples that will wait for the promise. We need to wait for what? The promise of the return of Christ.
Yes.
We're waiting for the promise of the return of Christ.
Yep.
You're going to get old, man. Jesus ain't came back yet, so I'm going to stop waiting. What makes a producing church? Three, disciples that take leadership seriously. That take leadership seriously. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 20. Acts chapter 1, verse 20. Listen to what it says. For said Peter, look at verse 15. Just verse 15. It says, in those days, Peter stood up among the believers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers. A group numbering about 120. 120. 3.5 years, Jesus produced 120 believers. Oh, masses followed him. But the one, masses followed him. Thousands. He fed the 5,000 plus. But those thousands of people, they were just fans. They were fans.
Right.
That's all they were. They weren't committed.
Wow.
These were the committed.
Yeah. Yeah.
These 120.
Yes.
Why? Because when the bread ran out and the fish ran out,
yeah.
They stayed.
Yes.
These 120.
Amen.
Will you stay in the home? The meat runs out. The gas runs out. We stay in the church. Huh? These 120. Listen, this is what I want to point. Let me preach it. Listen to what I'm. It says, in those days, Peter stood up among the believers. 120. What does this mean? It means that Peter stepped up. He stepped up. You know why? Because he's seen 120, and as they prayed, he realized that there was a gap. And he realized that that gap needed to be filled. What gap was it? Look, let's read on. And said, brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled, in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in our ministry. With the payment he received for his wickedness, Judas bought a field. There he fell headlong. His body burst open and all his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called that field in their language academia, that is, field of blood. Verse 20. For said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted. Let there be no one to dwell in it. And may another take his place of May another take his place of leadership.
Yeah.
To be a producing church, we need disciples that take leadership seriously. Disciples like Peter, who said, if nobody else is going to say it, I got to say it. That's what he did. He stood up. He stood up and said, hey, I'm just going to address the elephant in the room. I'm just going to address the elephant in the room. We're lacking some leadership, and we need to raise up some leadership. Why? Because he took leadership serious.
That's right.
Hmm? Isn't that what the job of a leader, of a pastor, is to address the elephant in the room? We ain't gone to the streets in a long time. Hey, we ain't done a rally in a while. Hey, we ain't won souls in a while. Hey! The children's ministry needs more teachers. Hey! The home needs more leaders. Hey!
Right.
Hey, there's a need in the worship team. Hey, there's a need in the choir. Hey! Addressing the other. That's what leaders do. Leaders just don't just sit back and let things fall apart. Leaders step up to the plate.
That's right.
We need leaders. See, if we want to be a producing church, we need disciples that take leadership seriously. This is why you need to be here next Saturday.
Right.
And the Saturday after that, when we have Pastor Louis for leadership.
Right. Yes.
We take it serious. I told Pastor Jesse, I said, Pastor, listen, let's do a church planning thing. Let's do a church, because I want to keep that bug. I want to keep that bug in my church. I want to be infected with the spirit of church planting.
Amen.
Yes. We may not be big church, but I believe we got a big heart, and we can still launch out some churches. We may not have it, but we, I believe.
Yeah.
Amen.
So come teach us.
Good.
Let's get that inside of our bloodstream. It's out of our spiritual DNA. Let's learn now. Let the gang hear it now. Let the men of the home hear it now. Let the church hear it now.
Right.
Because we take leadership seriously.
Hallelujah.
See, people that take leadership seriously, they say this. They say, I want to be a good leader. People that take leadership seriously, they say to themselves, I want to be a good leader. I want to be a good leader. And I tell you that because that's what I said to myself. That's what I say to myself still. I said that to myself in the home. I said that to myself in the church in East Dallas. When I was there coming up the ranks, I said, I want to be a good leader. I would hear my pastor preach on leadership. And I said, man, I want to be one of those leaders. And I want to be a good leader. I would hear him preach about bad leadership. And said, I don't want to be that type of leader. I want to be a good leader. And I would hear that. Says, man, I want to be a good leader, man. I want to be a good armor bearer. I want to be a good servant. I want to be a good street evangelism leader. I want to be a good youth leader. I want to be a good church leader. I want to be a good preacher leader. I want to be a good leader. Because I took leadership seriously. Because I seen that the Bible takes it seriously. I see it in the scripture. It's covered with leadership. It's leadership is all in the Bible. And if you don't see it, open up your eyes.
Yeah.
Disciples that take leadership seriously. Personal leadership. In other words, you know how to lead yourself. How can you lead others if you can't lead yourself?
Wow. That's good, Pastor.
How can you lead others in prayer if you can't get up and pray?
Yeah.
How can you lead others to the Word of God if you can't lead yourself to the Word of God? You got to take personal leadership. You got to lead yourself. You got to lead yourself to prayer. You got to lead yourself to the Word.
Right.
You know, I'm sorry, we can't do it for you.
Good.
You have to lead yourself. You got to enroll yourself in Vetti.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to enroll yourself go to the conventions and the conferences, to the trainings and the seminars. I took it serious. Me and my wife, we were at every leadership training. Because we took it serious. You know why? Because we took the church serious. Because we wanted the church to grow. It wasn't even our, it was our church, but we weren't the pastors, but it was our church. And we said, we want the church to grow. And so if the church is going to grow, I got to grow. I got to grow. I got to grow personally. We take personal leadership serious. We take ministry leadership serious. We take kingdom leadership serious. Yes. Fourthly, what makes a producing church? Disciples that are passionate about serving and giving. Mm. Disciples that are passionate about serving and giving. Look at Acts 2:42, the next chapter, Acts 2:42. The piano player can come up. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. All the believers were together and had everything in common. You know what that means? That means they were together and they were serving each other. It says they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Why? Because they were serving each other.
Yeah.
You got a need, brother? I got some property. Let me sell it. Boom. I sold it. Boom, boom. Here. Go meet. Here. They're helping each other out. Are we helping each other out?
Amen.
They were serving each other. Serving each other. Serving each other. Disciples that are passionate about serving and giving. That's what that's the type of early church it was. It doesn't say they would have church service like this, but it does say they met in their house. It does say you see love here. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. That's a big place. That's a big place right there, the temple courts. But let me tell you something. When persecution took place, they couldn't meet in the temple courts anymore. It says, let me see, read on. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. When persecution broke out, they couldn't probably meet in the temple, but guess where they could meet? In their homes. What was to happen if something was to happen to this building? Would we still meet?
Yeah.
Would you come to my backyard?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Would you come to the corner of 23rd and Dalworth?
Amen.
We don't need a building to have church.
Yeah.
Thank God we got a building. Huh? Oh, would you be? Oh man, we ain't got a building, so I guess we don't have church. Who said that? I got a born. That's how the church in Cuba, Victory Arch Cuba, started. They're building a church now because God blessed them because they were faithful in the little. At the beginning, they didn't have a building. You know where they met? On the side of the ocean. Every Sunday, rain or sunshine, hundreds would come out in Cuba. Communist country, Christianity not allowed. Victory Arch Cuba, Pastor Abel.
Amen.
He had pictures. And they would have church. 200, 300, 400 people would come to the beach every Sunday morning. And he would preach to them. That's how it started. And then the government, I guess, started to feel sorry for them. And they started to see, man, they're doing a good work. They're reaching, they're cleaning up the streets. They're getting the drug addicts off the streets.
Yeah.
That is serious.
Yeah.
He says, you guys are doing such a good work. We don't like churches, but we like you. And we feel sorry for you, so we're going to let you borrow a building. And they're having church in that building today.
Wow.
400 people, 500 people every Sunday. 600 people. Now they're building a church. They're building United We Can. This is why we got to give to United We Can. We got to sell what we have so that we can give to those who have need, our brothers and sisters. Even though we don't see them, they're still brothers and sisters. That's why we give to United We Can. But a building don't hold them back. And we complain because it's a little chilly in the building. When are you going to turn on the furnace? Huh? We got to disciples that are passionate about serving and giving. See, these type of disciples refuse just to sit back. They possess an inner desire and an inner drive to do something for God. These disciples that are passionate about serving and giving, there's just something inside of them, a drive, a desire that says, I got to do something, man. I got to hit the streets, yeah, man. I got to do something in the ministry, man. Where can I get involved? The worship of the ushers, you know, the worship and the ushers, the children's ministry, man. I'll get involved anywhere, man. Pastor will have to stop me. Huh? Pastor would have to stop me sometimes. He says, you're doing too much. Just go. What do you mean? What do you mean? Yeah, you're like a chicken with your head cut off. So you're running everywhere all over the church. I said, well, I just want to serve. I just want to serve, Pastor. He says, yeah, that's good. But you know what? I need you to focus on the youth. I want you to focus on the youth. You've probably seen all the energy I had. You know, man, I need to put this guy with the young people. People didn't want to sit next to me in church. You know why? Because I'd be jumping around praising God. I would. That's my wife, right? They didn't want to sit next to me, and they definitely didn't want to pray next to me. My wife, she would run from me. She wasn't my wife then. She was just, because in prayer, I'd grab their hand. All right, let's get a prayer circle, guys. Let's close in prayer. Let's open up in prayer. And nobody would, like, stand next to me. You know? And then finally, you know, I asked, why are you guys looking? And then my wife says, because every time you pray, you grab our hands and you start shaking them like this in prayer. I said, because I'm praying down heaven, sister. And in praise and worship, I'd be jumping, spinning. And they're like, we don't get next to you in praise because we're afraid you're going to knock us down. I'm serious. I'm not kidding. I just want to do something for God. If I'm going to praise, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to worship God. If I'm going to pray. I'm going to be in the children's ministry. If I'm going to be in the worship, don't tell me to say P's and Q's. Or jalapeno. We tell that to people that don't know how to sing. If you don't know the words, just say P's and Q's. Because they try to put me in the worship team. I said, I'll get in the worship team. They announced it. There's a need in the choir. Well, there's a need. I'm there. Showed up for choir practice. I didn't know the songs. I said, okay, get in the choir. You know, but if you don't know the songs, I said, I don't know the songs. Just say P's and Q's. I said, okay. And I said, why? I said, well, at least it looks like the people can see that you're moving your lips and they think you're singing. I said, okay, P's and Q's. And the next week I went, the next week I went. And I started to learn the songs. So I started to sing the songs.
Amen.
And then the worship director came up to me and says, hey, you gotta do P's and Q's, remember? I said, no, I know the song now. I said, hey, yeah, I know, yeah, that's the problem. Well, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, you're not harmonizing. Harmony? What? Menudo? You're not harmonizing with everybody. You know, you're out of tune. I said, what? He said, I think your gift is preaching, you know? I said, I don't want to say P's and Q's. I want to sing the song. But I'm a team player. So I said, amen. All right. Jesus loves my voice, even though you don't. I'll get involved in anything. I just wanted to serve. I just wanted to do something for God.
Right, it's good.
I just want to do something for God. Pastor's prayer partners, ushering. There's a desire, there's an inner drive. There's a meeting. I want to be there. I'll be there. After church is over, I remember after church would be over, and everybody would go home, and then Pastor and the leaders would go to the green room. So, well, Pastor and the leaders ain't left. They're still at the church. I won't be at the church. Do something. And then they say, okay, you stand at the door. Stand at the door. Okay, I'll stand at the door. And this is your job. Hold down the door. Make sure nobody comes and knocks and bothers. And I'm like, okay, all right. And I have the door duty for the green room. And then every once in a while, I'd have to open the door to let somebody in. And I look in there, and I think they're having like some deep Bible study meeting, you know. Then I open up the door, and I see them snacking. I'd be like, I want snacks. So no, you're the armor bearer. You're the door duty. All right, praise God. Amen. Yes, sir. Guard the door. I just want to serve.
Amen.
Rather be a doorman in the house of God,
right,
than to dwell in the house of the wicked.
Come on.
Better is one day in your courts,
that's right,
than 1,000 elsewhere.
That's right.
People that produce, to be a producing church, we need people that have an inner drive, a desire to do something for God, even if it's just to clean the toilet, even if it's just to stay at your post. Believe me, if you're faithful in the little, you'll be faithful in much, and God's ready to expand your ministry. Look what he's done for me and my wife, because we're faithful in the little. And lastly, what makes a producing church are disciples that are plugged in. Disciples that are plugged in to a small group, whether it's a life group or it's a ministry. And they serve in that group or they serve in that ministry. Life groups are important. They give life an opportunity for discipleship, growth, and serving. They give opportunity for relationships to be built. Ministries like the worship or the gang, these ministries not only serve, but they build up the body of Christ and the church. If we're going to be a church that produces, we got to be a people that are plugged in. Got to get plugged into a life group, into a ministry. You got to be plugged into a ministry where you're serving. There has to be an outlet. Listen, if there's no outlet, you know what happens? You become just spiritually fat. You're just consuming, 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 and you got all this head knowledge, but you're not. There's no outlet. There's no serving. This is why we cannot just sit on the sidelines. We got to get in the game. And you know what? I should be teaching this on Sunday morning.
Yes.
But I am hoping that you will be an echo. And I'm hoping that you will become that leader, that disciple, young disciples this way.
Amen.
That you teach your disciples, listen, you're not going to be a pew-warming disciple. You're not going to be an idle disciple, not on my watch. And leaders, you got to learn to people that are not doing anything, to get them involved in something. When you see somebody just by themselves, you approach them. You approach them and say, hey, you know, what's up? I see you've been coming to church for a while. What are you doing? What are you doing? Are you in a life group? Come to my life group. Go get involved in my ministry. Because you're serious about leadership. You're serious. Because this is what makes healthy Christians. It's not just about being saved and enjoying our salvation, just being saved. That's what other churches want, but listen, no, my friend, it's not just about being saved. It's about serving God. It's about reaching people. It's about building the kingdom. It's about to say, Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. He didn't say go and make converts. He said go and make disciples, learners, people of action. Go and make disciples. Produce. Start somewhere. I want you to stand to your feet. We can't get comfortable. We need to put our hands to the plow. We need to get involved. Stay plugged in. Continue. Don't grow weary. You're plugged in already. Don't grow weary. Don't grow weary in well-doing. We do have a serving church. I love my church. You guys are a hard-working church. Serving people. Some of us though, we only serve like a certain percentage. We only serve like 30%, 40%, maybe 50%. We have to get to 100%. I'm not saying, again, you have to be in the church every day. No, remember, that's totally opposite. Totally opposite. Being Friday night, be Sunday morning. But what are you doing to further the kingdom on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? And I don't mean that all the time you got to be in the streets, but you got to go to the streets. We got door hangers, lots of door hangers. Sometimes building the kingdom means building yourself up in the Word. Sometimes building the kingdom means building yourself up in prayer. On Monday night, you set it aside to say, you know what, I'm gonna lock myself in my prayer closet. I'm going to get before the Word of God, and I'm going to get myself in this Word. And if I want to build the kingdom, I got to build up my faith, so I'm going to feed myself. But there's some Christians that do that every single day, but they never share it with nobody. And that's great you share it on Facebook, but all your friends are Christian. Share it on the streets. Share it at your job. Share it to your neighbors. Share it at Walmart. Share it at QT. We'll be a producing church. Producing church. Let's do something for God. Let's make an impact for God. We're making an impact. We're making an impact. Close your eyes, lift your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we love you. We worship you. We praise you, Father. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. The altar's open. The altar's open. Come pray. Come pray. Come let God work in your life. Let God seal the